Now this morning, if I don't reach out my hand in good Christian fellowship, it's because I don't want you to share my germs. I've got one of those colds that's going around. So I did want to wish all of you a very happy New Year, though. It's said that in Rome on New Year's Eve, there's a tradition of throwing old things right out the window to start the new year, free of things from the past. I guess the moral of that story is if you're in Rome some New Year's Eve, you best keep an eye skyward in case somebody's throwing on an old TV as you're passing by. One pastor tells about being in Mexico one year with her husband on New Year's Eve. They found themselves in the middle of something they really didn't understand. It was late in the evening, not quite yet midnight, and the central square was full of people. There were lights and music, kids, old people, families. And there were stands that were set up with people selling, in addition to all the usual souvenirs and food and so forth. They were selling an array of very inexpensive pottery, mostly simple clay plates. What was interesting was that people were buying these simple clay plates, and then they would stand back and they would throw them against one wall of the great cathedral that stood in the community square, smashing it into pieces. It was loud and raucous and exciting. Later, she learned that this tradition grew out of a deep human need to throw out the old and start the new year free of old resentments and old fears, old prejudices and old sins. She said, throw them out. Let them smash against the strong fortress of faith and be done with it. God is ready to offer healing and new life. I'm really glad that you came to worship on this first Sunday of a new year. Have you ever heard the expression, today is the first day of the rest of your life? It's a positive expression about life, and it's something that I really want to reinforce today because I believe that today really can be the first day in your new life. I read a story recently about a man who had made a trip up to Alaska to visit some of the people that lived above the Arctic Circle. He said, never ask an Alaskan native how old he is. If you do, they will say, I don't know and I don't care. And he doesn't. The man visiting pressed the local resident a bit further and he asked him a second time how old he was, and he was told, almost, that's all. And so he asked, almost what? And the man said, almost one day. Well, the visitor didn't have a clue what this local man meant by that until he talked to another person who had been living there above the Arctic Circle for more than 20 years. He knew a lot about the indigenous people and their customs and their beliefs. He said, these people believe that when they go to sleep at night, they die. That they are literally dead to the world, and then when they wake up in the morning, they have been resurrected and are living a new life. So no one's more than a day old. Life above the Arctic Circle is harsh and cruel, and mere survival becomes a major accomplishment. He said, but you never see any who seem worried or anxious. They've learned to face life one day at a time. I wonder, have you learned how to put worry and anxiety aside and live just one day at a time? It really gives new meaning to that familiar admonition that today's the first day of the rest of your life. Now, our scripture lesson for today deals with people who also lived in a harsh and a cruel world. It's the concluding portion of the Christmas story. After the shepherds and the wise men have gone, an angel appears to Joseph in a dream and says to him, Herod will be looking for the child in order to kill him. So get up and take the child and escape to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you to leave." It's a scene of darkness and dread, of fear and flight. The humble couple gathers their few belongings and their precious newborn baby. And in the darkness of night, they silently make their way toward Egypt. Life is often like that. Even in the most beautiful story in all of literature, the story of God's Son being born in Bethlehem, there's still this specter of fear and death. This is an acknowledgement on this first Sunday of the new year that there is much in life to dread. The Bible doesn't gloss over the very real problems of living in this imperfect world. From the very first family with its envy and its strife, through the daily battles of God's own people, the people of Israel, battles with neighboring tribes, with feast and famine and slavery and wandering through the wilderness, through tears and tribulations, we see in their travails that life is not easy. That's one of the majesties about the Bible, is it portrays no Pollyanna view of life. Life is harsh and demanding and sometimes cruel. There's much to dread. So Mary and Joseph and their newborn son must flee for their lives into Egypt. It's a very human drama that has been repeated often through the ages. Even today, around the world and within our own borders, families are packing up their belongings and setting off in hopes of finding jobs or food or freedom. In some places like Syria and even Central America, people are actually fleeing for their lives. They have to leave family and friends behind. With a sense of dread and uncertainty, they move to new homes in search of a better, more secure life. Mary and Joseph fled to Egypt. But their story doesn't end there. There's still much to fear, so they settle in the province of Galilee in a little town called Nazareth. The biblical testimony is realistic that there's much in life to fear. The problem begins when we allow our fears to overwhelm us, to dominate our lives. Fear can do amazing things with our minds. I think one of the most basic human emotions is fear. And fear in proper doses is certainly something that's healthy. Many people, however, are almost totally dominated by their fears. It might be fear of failure, fear of ridicule. For some, it's fear of places or fear of people. There are as many fears as there are demands upon the human creature. Anything we are asked to be or to do can create fear. There's a story that's told about J. Edgar Hoover, the former director of the FBI. Now, the story may be apocryphal, but one source tells it as true. It seems that Hoover once made a trip to California, and while making a left turn, his chauffeur-driven car was struck by another car from behind. The FBI director, who had been sitting in the seat behind the driver, was badly shaken by the incident. And from then on, Hoover refused to sit in that spot in the car. But even more amazing, from that day forward, Hoover forbade all left turns on his auto trips. So I guess you have to do three rights, but it works out. Well, think about that, though, for a minute, if it's true. The director of one of America's most important law enforcement agencies was reduced to a bundle of nerves by the thought of making a left turn. We all have the capacity to make our lives miserable by giving in to our fears. But there is an antidote to fear. You can find it in the scripture. It's an antidote that allowed the heroes of the Bible to dissolve their fears and fight great battles. This antidote is more than simply being courageous. Courage is an admirable quality. It allows us to face our fears for a time and do battle. But courage is somewhat of a limited ally. It all too easily falls prey to its greatest enemy, an emotion with an interesting name, discouragement. I mean, think about that for a minute. Courage and discourage. For courage to be lasting and effective, it must be able to see hope. If it sees no hope, it quickly transforms into discouragement. The opposite of fear is not courage. The opposite of fear is faith. Faith tells us that although the odds are against us, we're not alone. That's the biblical answer to fear. We may see no hope, but we know the one who is the source of hope. That is faith not in ourselves, but in God. And that kind of faith can always defeat fear. It's interesting, Joseph and Mary, as they fled to Egypt, they couldn't know that they were fulfilling an Old Testament prophecy. I called my son out of Egypt. As they headed from Egypt to Nazareth, they probably weren't even aware that, according to a prophecy which had been written centuries before, the Messiah would be called a Nazarene. Even as the drama of that first Christmas begins with them making their way to Joseph's hometown of Bethlehem because of something Caesar Augustus had done, they could not know that according to prophecy, their son must be born in Bethlehem. See, even in the darkest times, God was there. Just as God is with us in our difficult times. Life was hard for Mary and Joseph, but they weren't alone. God was with them. And that is the meaning of faith. Not that the way will be made easy for us, but that God will be with us no matter what. So why not turn your fears and frustrations over to God? Throw them out, smash them against the strong fortress of faith, and be done with them. God is ready to offer new healing and new life. The same loving God who gently guided Mary and Joseph toward Bethlehem, then toward Egypt, and finally to a little town named Nazareth, watches over our lives as well. God can free you from your fears if you will but trust God. Without faith, we're in bondage to our worries. We're in bondage to our anxieties. But with faith and trust in God, we can be set free. Each day, Christ can give us new life to face the trouble of this world. And today is the first day of that life. Amen.